Welcome to the Right to Vision Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time, which was looking at some issues related to the Sermon on the Mount and this doctrinal area that individuals try to apply to us as the members of the body of Christ today, and really end up failing in this because all of the information that we're actually going to see in this area, which includes Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7, really does not apply to us and is speaking about the nation of Israel and the establishment of the kingdom here on planet Earth. Now, we're not going to cover all of the areas that are contained in these chapters. We're only going to hit some of the highlights and really deal with some of the more popular passages that individuals pull from these chapters. And in this episode, we're really going to be focusing on what's commonly known as the Beatitudes, because these ideas are really taken and applied to individuals today. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter number 5. And we're going to read here these things. We're going to start in verse 3 and go down through verse 11 and see what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. And it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, when we look at this, we see that there's a couple phrases that get used here speaking about what's being said here. We see how it's talking about this coming kingdom. It's talking about the blessings that they're going to have on earth, which really contrasts, if we remember, some of the verses that we've used to describe what it is that the Apostle Paul says about us, the members of the body of Christ. Like, for example, over here in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And how our blessings have nothing to do with the earth or the coming kingdom, but all have to do with the heavenly places. You see that he talks about our conversation is in heaven. Another reference to what has been promised to us in contrast with what the Word of God says about the things of the nation of Israel. But we see that it's talking here about this kingdom that's called theirs in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and a kingdom that had been promised to them. For example, if we go over into the book of Daniel, we read in the prophecy that was given to Daniel. We're going to go to Daniel chapter number 2. Here we're going to see what it is. This is actually part of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had and the interpretation that's given by Daniel here. And in Daniel chapter 2, we're going to read here verse number 44, just to see what it is that Daniel is actually saying about what's going on here. And it says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Now, when you study out Daniel chapter number 2, you see how Daniel's talking about these kingdoms that have, you know, one that already has a position of dominance over the nation of Israel. There's a number of kingdoms that were going to come that were going to have, you know, that position of authority and dominance over the nation of Israel. But there was a kingdom that was coming that was actually going to not only replace all those, but was going to destroy all of them and was going to be in a position where the nation of Israel would be exactly where they had been promised to be. Everything that had been laid out in the scriptures and talk about those blessings that Israel is going to have, all of this was going to be that. In fact, we see that promise if we go back over to the book of Deuteronomy. We go to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. We're going to see what Moses is saying here in verse 31. When it says, "For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein." There was a promise that had been made of the fact that they were going to dwell in this land. You see, if you read the covenant that was made with David, and you see how it talks about the promise of that king that's going to be established and that's going to sit on that throne forever. Now, you see how this whole concept and discussion of the kingdom, that's the whole promise that had been made with the nation of Israel. You see how that really starts that conversation that the Lord Jesus Christ has of where he's preaching unto them the fact that the kingdom is at hand. This is what Israel has been looking for, and everything that they've been trying to, you know, wait for, that they've been hoping for, all of it is now going to finally be brought to pass. And it is truly, you know, in contrast to the promises that are made to us, the members of the body of Christ. Now, that promise in verse 3 talked about, you know, those who were poor in the spirit, and that's really speaking of this condition of humbleness that they were actually supposed to have. Now let's go to the book of Psalms. We'll go to Psalm 34. Here, and in Psalm 34, we're going to read here verse number 18. And it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So the issue is that those who were going to be saved were going to be have this contrite spirit. They were going to be have a broken heart. You know, they were not going to be relying on themselves. They were going to have to rely on God. That's that issue that you see that the Lord Jesus Christ starts talking about, how individuals are going to have to come as children, you know, not coming as the selves having this reliance on them. They were going to have to rely on God. We see this over in the book of Isaiah as well. Let's go to Isaiah 66, and we're going to see the prophet Isaiah actually make a very similar statement to what we just read over in Psalm 34. We're going to read the first two verses of Psalm 66. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Now, in these chapters at the end of the book of Isaiah, it's making a reference to that coming kingdom, the new heaven and new earth that's going to be established. and who it is that's actually going to be entering into the kingdom. And here we have a very similar statement to what we just have the Lord Jesus Christ saying in Matthew chapter number 5, talking about those who are the blessed. When it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this kingdom that was going to come was promised to those who meet this definition of being the poor in spirit. Those who are, you know, looking at it specifically as saying, you know, what it is that God is actually going to be able to do for them, rather than relying specifically on the things of themselves. Now, as we continue looking at these Beatitudes, we see here, you know, in verse 4, it starts talking about, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, this issue of the ones that are going to mourn, you know, this again speaks about the condition that the nation of Israel is going to have as they're going to be entering into this kingdom here. And I want to go over to Matthew chapter number 24 for a moment. When you go to Matthew chapter 24, you see these instructions that are being given to the apostles after they've asked about what's going to be the sign of the establishment of the kingdom. And he starts laying out, you know, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen, all prior to the establishment of the kingdom. And when we see here in verse number 29, this is going to be, you know, towards, you know, he's now into the second half of what's referred to as Daniel's 70th week. He says, and immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, if you, you know, study out the book of Revelation, you're going to see that this is a description of the sixth seal being opened that's being said here. Then verse 30, it jumps from the sixth seal to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And this is this mourning that's actually going to occur. And it says all the tribes of the earth are going to be in this position. So all the tribes are actually going to be in this position of mourning because of what has actually transpired during this time. Now we can go over here. Let's go to Zechariah chapter number 12 for a moment. And as you can see by all these verses, they're all coming from the prophetic program speaking about the establishment of the kingdom. We don't see any of these things that are laid out in these passages that truly tie in with the information that's given to the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon. So the individuals who've accepted the gospel for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that belief in that and that alone, which actually gives somebody their salvation, the individuals who've done that today, none of what we've been reading here, none of these promises actually apply to a believer today. And that's why when we turn back here in Zechariah, we're going to be seeing again another prophecy that's being made to the nation of Israel here. We're going to start here in verse number 9. And this is going to be talking more about that issue of mourning that's going to be coming for the nation of Israel. And it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn every family apart, family of the house of David apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart and their wives apart, the family of Shammai apart and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. We see this issue again, and it's pointing to how these individuals are going to be looking at, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the individual whom they've pierced, and they're going to be having this condition of where they, you know, mourning because, you know, they're truly witnessing at that point that he is the one that had been promised that Messiah, and it's pointing to the rejection that the majority of the nation had. Now, this issue of mourning, there also is a comfort that comes for these individuals as part of the kingdom promise that has been made to them. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah again. This time we're going to go to Isaiah chapter number 61. And we're going to see here this promise about the comfort that's going to come for them. And we're going to read the first three verses of Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now, when we look at this passage, and anyone who has actually studied out the Gospels knows that this is a passage that is actually quoted during the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go over into Luke chapter number 4, you see how he sits down in the temple as his custom was, and he's going to read from Scripture, and he asks for the book of Isaiah to be given to him. They get it for him. He turns to this passage, he starts reading it, and he stops in, you know, kind of mid-thought there. You know, we would say mid-verse because we have the chapter and verse numbers that are written here. When he stops at the, you know, part of verse 2 when it says, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," he doesn't get into the vengeance part yet. He closes the book up and says, you know, "this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, he has to stop at the point that he does, because if he goes on and reads, he could not say that the scripture was being fulfilled with them at that point, because the verse was going to continue and talk about the issue of the, you know, the fact that the vengeance was going to have to come, that the wrath of God would actually have to be poured out at that moment. But as the wrath is being poured out, the other side of it comes in that there's going to be comfort for those that mourn after they've gone through whatever wrath. And the comfort comes, you know, when we're talking about for those of the members of the nation of Israel, God does protect them and keeps them from actually having to face any part of his wrath that's actually being poured out upon people. That's why prior to what we had just read in Matthew chapter 24, when they see the Antichrist sit down in the temple declaring himself to be God, they're told to flee into the wilderness, flee into God's protection, so that way he can protect them before he actually pours out his wrath, because that's what's actually going to come next, is the wrath of God actually poured out after that has been occurred. Now, as part of these Beatitudes, we're probably only going to get through one more of these, you know, thing is, look, let's look at back over in Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to read here verse 5, and this is one that is used by so many people today when it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, when we look at this term meek, individuals really have a misinterpretation of what meek actually is, and because they look at meekness, and instead of meekness, they look at it as weakness in things, rather than it being the true issue of who it is that you know, is meek. And I want to go over to Numbers chapter number 12 here, because we're going to see an issue of talking about Moses, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 1 of Moses 12, or of Numbers 12, and it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, when we truly look at Moses, we don't look at him as being a weak individual. We see an individual who has relied truly on God, has, you know, not promoted himself in any manner. Everything that he has done has been truly in accordance with God, his program, and that's why it's a thing of, we go down here and we're going to read here, for example, verse 6, it says, "And he said, Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him, and in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses, not so, who is faithful in all mine house, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now, the whole issue is that Moses is able to actually communicate directly with God, and it talks about how he's able to, you know, the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Now, it means that he's a strong individual. He's just not promoting himself. He's promoting the things of God. Now, this whole issue of the meek, the individuals who are, you know, placing themselves in subservience to, you know, God and his program. If we go over to Psalm 37, here we're going to actually read, because Matthew chapter number 5, verse 5 is actually a quote out of here, out of Psalm 37. And we're going to read verse number 11, and it says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So the scriptures had proclaimed that the meek, the individuals that were truly going to be part of this whole program, it was all going to be, you know, geared towards those who are truly part of what God was actually truly planning to do, and those who are following what his plan was. Now, you can continue on going through all of the Beatitudes, and you can really see how they all point to this issue of what it is that God is truly saying and how the kingdom is going to be given to these members of the nation of Israel and how it does not apply to us, the members of the body of Christ today, because none of that doctrine that's in, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John truly does apply to us, the members of the body of Christ today. Now, as we close out here, I always like to remind people of, you know, our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have links to audio files of our messages. We have a link to our YouTube page, a link to a Facebook page, which has video broadcasts of our messages and actually gives you some information on how you can watch those live as they are actually occurring. If you happen to be in the Buffalo area on August 14th, we'll actually be having our church picnic. And at some point this week, the information about that will actually be up on our website too, you know, so that way you can join us if you happen to be in the area. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.